TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
Trump in panic. Yemen sinks a U.S. fighter jet. Larry Johnson and Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson discuss the incident with Danny Haifong. The shocking status of U.S. military power has been exposed by Yemen, forcing an F-18 to sink off the USS Harry Truman to the bottom of the Red Sea. Former CIA analyst Larry Johnson and former Chief of Staff Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson call this the crisis facing America's waning empire. And here are their comments, recorded on April 30, 2025. Only 4 days later, another incident confirmed their analysis. The New York Times reported on May 4 that a ballistic missile launched from Yemen struck near the main terminal of Israel's international airport, close to Tel Aviv. These strikes on shipping and occasional hits inside Israel come in response to the most recent daily bombings of Yemen by the U.S., Israel, and Britain that began on March 15, 2025. Here's the host, Danny Haifong. He's an activist, writer, and political analyst. He produces videos on geopolitics that are posted on YouTube.
Welcome to another live stream. It's your host, Danny Haifong. I wanted to play actually a ABC World News report on what happened in the Red Sea now that there is an F-18 fighter jet, U.S. fighter jet now sunk to the bottom. So here is the report.
Tonight, the stunning fall from an aircraft carrier, a $70 million fighter jet going overboard in the Red Sea, crew members jumping to safety. The Navy says an F-18 fighter jet was being towed out of a hangar on the USS Truman when the crew lost control. The plane and the towing tractor both tumbling overboard, sinking to the bottom of the sea. One crew member was on the plane, a second on the tractor, both of them escaping at the last moment.
Officials say it's unclear whether enemy fire played a role.
The Truman has been protecting commercial shipping in the Red Sea from ongoing attacks by Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen, the carrier coming under fire several times. A U.S. official tells ABC News initial reports suggest a sudden movement of the carrier because of Houthi fire might have contributed to the crew losing control of the F-18.
So I wanted to just stop it there and get your reactions, gentlemen. Your thoughts on what's going on here, Larry.
Everything I'm going to say is speculative based upon, you know, what's been reported through different sources. The most credible explanation is that the ship was making an emergency maneuver, and that meant a sharp turn at full speed. This plane was on the, you know, below the top deck, the hangar deck, essentially, where the planes are stored. And they were in the process probably of moving it to an elevator, which is on the side that would then bring the plane up to the top, is what appears happened. And they had just moved it into position when all of a sudden they get this threat to the emergency maneuver. And in doing that, you know, anybody that's been in a car, let's say you're making a hard right turn, and if you're sitting on the left side, that G-force takes you the opposite direction. I note that this plane costs twice as much as a Predator, and that over the last 7 weeks, the Houthis have shot down 7 Predators, one a week. So this is becoming a costly misadventure for Donald Trump's Navy.
Yeah. Colonel Wilkerson, your reaction to what is now an F-18 that is at the bottom of the Red Sea, all of the reports are saying that Yemeni fire likely had a big role in this.
I don't really think it makes much difference whether it did or not. I think we're stupid. I think we're insane. I didn't go to the Naval War College and write my dissertation on CVBGs and direct submarines in direct support thereof and other things like that, to not be a knowledgeable, if you will, would-be sailor. And I'll tell you, the stupidest thing in the world is to enclose a carrier, whether it's in a strike group or, as we used to say, a battle group. We don't have battle groups anymore because we don't have enough ships to compose them. They're strike groups now. And to put one in a confined sea like the Red Sea or the Persian Gulf is insanity, absolute insanity. And I have just been waiting for that to be corroborated by some intrepid dude who takes one out. If you want to get into some really serious stuff with the Navy, take your capital ships and put them into confined seas like we're doing now. We've even put one in the Persian Gulf. It's so shallow that you could bring it down with a mine or a makeshift submarine or whatever. We're not using our assets properly, even in the sense of their employment, but we're certainly not using them properly to pound the hell out of the poor Al-Ansar, Houthis, whatever you want to call them, probably the only people who are really putting up some resistance of consequence to the slaughter in Gaza.
Talk about, Larry, what you make of this ongoing war, because reports are now that the United States has hit 1,000, some say 800 targets in Yemen. But even Military Defense News is saying that it's essentially all civilian targets. And yet you still have Ansarallah, or the Houthis, as they're known in the mainstream media, continuing these operations to the point where it's incidents like these seemingly are more likely to happen or even worse.
They're going back to the era of Vietnam. Instead of body counts, we're doing bombing counts. And, oh, my God, we must be winning. We've dropped so many bombs. Look, the fact of the matter is the United States has no effective intelligence on the ground. And what their ostensible objective is to destroy mobile missile launchers. Those missile launchers are kept underground. And they're kept underground in locations that no matter how many bombs the United States drops on it, it's not going to destroy what's underground. The Houthis have learned from the North Koreans and the Iranians how to do that. So without effective intelligence, we're sort of guessing. And I guarantee you that the guys who are given the task of coming up with new targets are just like, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel. Because they can't come up with anything that's actually going to be effective in defeating or destroying the Houthis. And you know, this goes back to World War II, where you always had these, at the time it was Army Air Corps, but later Air Force. They're always convinced, man, all we got to do is just drop enough bombs. And boy, that'll force a surrender. It's never worked. We got 80 plus years of history where it just hasn't worked. So now that Hegseth and company are the only way you can get be in a good position to attack a mobile launcher in Yemen is you got to have a predator in the sky. It's got to be armed, and you've got to be able to say, oh, there it is, and then give the immediate order to hit it. But even doing that, the Houthis have managed, like I said, in 7 weeks to take out seven of them. That's a minimum $210 million. Or if you take the $40 million charge, it's a $280 million. And then, you know, tack that on to a $70 million plane. You know, and that's just in less than a month. They've blown through almost, a half a million dollars when you factor in the cost of keeping those ships at sea.
Colonel Wilkerson, you know, Marco Rubio has said that Trump's first 100 days of U.S. foreign policy has been absolutely game-changing and beneficial to U.S. national security interests, of course.
Sorry.
I wanted you to talk about this.
That you could say that with a straight face, man.
That's yeah, I know. Oh, man. Yeah, no, it is difficult. It is difficult. But Colonel Wilkerson said, it seems like the Trump administration is going to continue onward with this bombing campaign in Yemen. And you talked about how putting the USS Harry Truman here is stupid. Talk about why then the United States would put their aircraft carriers in the Red Sea, in the line of fire. What exactly is, from your military expertise, what exactly is the purpose of this?
All I can do is give you the answer I gave you before. We're stupid. And I don't say that lightly. I have not encountered an admiral or a general, that's a full four-star general or a four-star admiral, or even a three-star in either category, who has a brain of late. The paucity of knowledge, particularly warfighting knowledge, amongst those who are supposed to be the leaders of the American military is abominable. It's just atrocious. I don't blame Pete Hegseth if he fires about half a dozen or more of them. Most of them sit around waiting for that day when they can walk out the river entrance of the Pentagon and work for a seven or eight or even a nine figure salary figure as an advisor twice a year or whatever for Lockheed Martin, Grumman, or one of the other giant defense contractors. That's one of the reasons there is an element in the Pentagon amongst the flags trying to unseat Hegseth, because they see that he's transferring 8-9% of this now $2 trillion. You ready for this? $2 trillion when you add it all up right now, $2 trillion going for national security. That includes factoring in that portion of the national debt, now over $1 trillion, that's attributable to national security outlays. So he's shifting some of that money away from these comfortable positions at Lockheed and RBX and Grumman and so forth that these people are going to get. That's all these people think about these days. I'm serious. There's such a paucity of strategic thinking and warfighting acumen in the Pentagon's flags and in the flags in general, even the unified command commanders who are called, quote, the warfighters, unquote. There's a paucity of warfighting skill. Take the guy in Central Command right now who's planning with Israel to attack Iran, even though his president has told him he's only got a few months left in the job, I'm told. But his president has told him that that's not the policy. And he's fomenting against Hegseth too.
Yeah. Larry, you know, this bombing campaign of Yemen, according to many media reports, including, of course, from the Ansarallah and Yemen themselves, have come out with just devastating numbers in terms of civilian deaths and murder. We have earlier in April, 70 people either killed and wounded, twice as many per in Ras Issa, the Yemeni port. And we also had a migrant detention center in Yemen where 70 African migrants were killed by U.S. bombing. Is this going to be the result of the U.S.'s bombing campaign? Is this going to be another Vietnam moment? Because unlike the Biden administration, which did at least cease its bombing campaign relatively quickly during its participation in the 15-plus month genocide that is still ongoing in Gaza, it stopped its Operation Prosperity Guardian, or at least rolled it back. Donald Trump seemingly is not doing that at all and actually is doubling down on continuing.
Well, Trump and his team didn't learn anything from the Biden team, who didn't learn anything. I mean, this is bipartisan stupidity, to be honest about it. The Trump's folks came in with, and Trump himself, I guess, they assumed, oh, Biden wasn't really trying. Biden didn't use all the force that's necessary. And if we just step it up, boy, we'll get results. I've heard this argument so many times with respect to Vietnam. We didn't lose. We just didn't try hard enough. You know, we have trouble being honest with ourselves about the actual limitations of our military power. They restarted Prosperity Guardian. They gave it a new name. And my God, we're going to show those Houthis. And all they're showing is that the United States is, a little impotent in the Red Sea. Colonel Wilkerson's exactly right about how foolish and dangerous it is to put, a carrier and its accompanying destroyers and cruisers in what's really a confined piece of water. locating a ship like that is tough. And Yemen on its own doesn't have its an ISR capability where that they can go up, find it, locate it, pinpoint it, and then put the coordinates in on the missiles. That's, I think, one of the main reasons we've not yet had an actual carrier or destroyer sunk, simply because they're constantly moving, and it's not like those ballistic missiles that are being fired at it are being flown like a drone, where you have a pilot remotely piloting it. So, you know, they've got themselves into a quagmire. They can blow up and kill a lot more civilians. All that's going to do is further enrage the Houthis and convince them that they're doing the right thing. And, you know, ultimately, it's leading other countries to look at the United States and realize they're not actually as powerful as they claim to be. We're being exposed as that little man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Colonel Wilkerson, anything you want to follow up there?
I think what we're looking at here is a case of Trump not knowing exactly what he's doing, like in so many other things that he's involved in right now. And that's a dangerous place to be for a president, especially when you have people arrayed around you, some of whom you selected yourself, that are not, in some cases, remotely competent in the positions in which you place them. And in other places, the learning curve is a little bit steep. Take Marco Rubio, for example. I'm sure that he might have the capacity someday to be a good diplomat, a good secretary of state. But the Senate is not a preparatory place for that, and especially not the way Rubio treated his senatorial position. It's not a place to develop a diplomat. It's not a place to develop a man who has experience and talent and skill at working with other powers in the world to achieve American interests. So it takes time to get up to speed, if you will. Well, they don't have any time because Trump has put them in the ball game right off the bat, major ball game. We've got all these different things going where we're risking our power, risking our reputation. A headline in Haaretz this morning. Here's what it says. Trump, Netanyahu, and the death throes of the American and Zionist dreams, unquote. Wow, that's a headline of an editorial in Haaretz, the oldest newspaper in Israel. Someone is seeing through the looking glass, clearly. We're destroying ourselves, and we're doing it over minor episodes and instances. In the same time, the major ones like Ukraine, Gaza itself, Lebanon, now Israel bombing Syria again and killing people in Syria, so much so that yesterday I heard the deal that Syria's new leader had said he was going to sign up to, he's backed away from because of what Israel is doing, killing people through the Druze and others in Syria of his own state. So he's angry at what's happening, and he's not going to go along with this deal, apparently. At least that's what I heard. So this is insanity what we're doing. And Trump has no control over it, apparently. Now, the one good thing I did hear just before I came on this show is at the end of the foreign ministers, the BRICS foreign ministers conference in Rio de Janeiro, Lavrov, apparently having just taken a telephone call or having plugged in for a moment or two, Lavrov said some really positive things about Ukraine, about where the talks are, if you will, with regard to Ukraine, on both sides, Washington and Moscow. Maybe at least that one is shaping up. I'm skeptical of that because there are so many bumps in the road, if you will. But we're just marching around the world, as Larry said, acting like we're king of the road and we can do anything we want to do, when in fact we are being shown up in place after place after place as being impotent.
So, Colonel Wilkerson, I respectfully disagree about Marco Rubio. He will never be a diplomat, but I understand where you're coming from. But I wanted to pull up, this is what he said, Colonel Wilkerson, and Larry, I can get you in here, actually. This is what he said. Nope, no evidence to support this. It's not a thread. 100 days under POTUS leadership, we are thriving in the golden age of America first foreign policy. It's strong America, stronger, safer, more prosperous, and we're just getting started. Larry, let me get you back in here. to comment on, because, you know, this Yemen firing missiles and it having an effect on what the U.S. is doing, not just on the war on Yemen, but in this larger regional war. Talk about where all this fits, because quietly or not so quietly, the United States is embroiled in a regional war again, not least the genocide in Gaza, but West Asia is very much on fire. Your take on where Yemen all fits into this and why the U.S. is seemingly in a forever war once again, this time on the Houthis on Sarala.
Well, Yemen actually is supposed to play a large role in Donald Trump's vision of the Middle East. Is we're going to defeat the Houthis. That'll show those Iranians, and they'll all bow the knee to us. Well, again, that policy's failing, and it fails on a daily basis. We're now 30 days plus six more, 36 days since they launched this operation. It was launched on the Ides of March, March 15th, and have not been able to quell the Houthis. They haven't been able to stop the Houthis from firing missiles, both into Israel and at U.S. ships. How in the world is the United States going to take on Iran, who is militarily light years ahead of the Houthis, and who has the added benefit of being supported with a strategic security agreement with both Russia? It's a formal agreement, and then I'll call it an informal agreement with China. There is this mythology right now that Iran, it's weak, man. It is as weak as it's ever been. It's like, you know, we got Alzheimer's patients running these institutions that they don't remember back to 2015 when the JCPOA, that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, was put into place. That at the time, Iran was embroiled in a war that had started in Yemen, fighting the Saudis. It was embroiled in a war in Syria, fighting ISIS, which is backed by Western intelligence, ironically. It was being sanctioned.
Looks like we lost
This is not good for internet.
Yeah. Larry, continue.
They just didn't like what I was saying. But when you look at where Iran is now, they've got the full backing of Russia, and they've got the full backing of China. They've got good relationships with both. They're now integrated into BRICS, and they have developed missile capabilities and anti-ballistic missile defense systems, along with having some given to them by Russia. So when you look at this picture of what the United States is trying to do strategically, the strategy in Ukraine, and this predated Trump, but we can't let Trump get away with this nonsense that, oh, I had nothing to do with this war. I don't know, Danny, if you had a chance. I did a three-part series looking at all the data on NATO and U.S. EUCOM military exercises dating back to 1992. Under Donald Trump, the Ukrainian army tripled in size when you consider both active duty and reserves. Wait a second, tripled? Russia wasn't tripling in size. Actually, Russia's military was decreasing in size during that period. It's also during Donald Trump's tenure in that first administration that they were conducting anti-submarine, and this is the word listed from the exercise, warfare and amphibious warfare. Those are not defensive exercises. Those are exercises in prep for offensive operations. This was all under Donald Trump. And then in September of 2020, Donald Trump was still president, last I checked. He authorized, or his Department of Defense authorized, the flight of B-52s along the coast of Crimea. Now, don't give me this crap that you're some sort of, I'm just an innocent bystander here. God, don't Obama and Biden, man, they got us into this mess. I'm going to get us out. He can get us out right now by pulling the plug on the whole damn thing. But instead, he's trying to keep up the pretense that he's got some Trump cards to play with with Russia. Meanwhile, he continues to facilitate the genocide of Israel. It looks, though, that there's an escape valve. Russia is going to help him make a deal with Iran, and the deal is going to be very simple. Iran caps the enrichment program at 3.6%, turns everything else over to the Russians. The Russians keep it. The Russians run the 20% enrichment for medical isotopes and guarantee Iran's supply of that. And Trump has prevented, and they get a permanent firm guarantee with inspections that Iran will not build a nuke. Now, will Trump take that deal? Or will he say, well, no, since you're not going to give up all your missiles and you're not going to swear off contacts with Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis, we're going to go to war with you. We'll find out exactly how profoundly, if this man is really stupid or not.
Just to what Larry's saying, I watched films yesterday that really took me back to 2006, I think it was, when Powell picked up the phone and called the president, George W. Bush, and said they just had a huge earthquake in Bam, centered on Bam in Iran, and we need to do things. I'm seeking your authorization. And Bush essentially said, I've already ordered things to start moving. There are search dog teams. There are fire departments alerted. All manner of support and help was going to our enemy, Iran, because eventually there'd be 30,000 plus deaths in this earthquake that occurred. Yesterday, I watched films of Russian airplanes dropping chemicals and water on the fire in Bandar Abbas, no doubt started by Israel. Wow. I said to myself, this is a real change. Russia is the humanitarian power in the world now, and on TV being displayed globally as such, whereas the United States is on TV being displayed as a stark raving idiot bombing people in Yemen. This is incredible, the change that's taking place. And Trump, as Larry just said, and Biden, Blinken, and Sullivan presided over a lot of this and put the finishing touches on it in terms of absurdity and insanity. And Trump backing away from being a warmonger is laughable.
That was Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, former war planner and chief of staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell, and before him, former CIA analyst Larry Johnson. The host was Danny Haifong. He's best known for his podcasts on geopolitics. You can watch the full 96-minute video on YouTube. Look for the title, Trump in Panic, Yemen Sinks U.S. Jet. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Our email address is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelöden. Thank you for listening.